A couple of weeks ago, I caught a social media posting of Gary Melcher's painting, The Nativity. The posting was used as a basis for a reflection, what now? If you've not seen the painting, it depicts an exhausted Mary lying out beside the crib and a Joseph sitting with clasped hands, gazing down at the newborn. And seeing a copy of this painting for the first time, I can certainly see why the person posting would ask the question, what now? But while at the end of the day, when Christmas is the Christmas meal is eaten and the gifts are unwrapped and everything seems done, the frenetic energy of the day is over, we might well sit back and say, what now? I have another question. My question's a bit different. My question is, what does all this mean? What does it mean when we say that God has come to us in Jesus? What does it mean? The question, what does it mean, comes right at the end of this passage in Luke's Gospel that we read this morning. It comes with a statement of Mary. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. There was certainly a lot to ponder and to treasure. The visit and the words of angelic messengers some 9 months earlier. The frustrating news that there's some census that the government was imposing would mean they'd have to travel from Galilee in the north to Bethlehem near the south. A journey of nearly 90 miles on foot, a three-day journey at best. And having arrived in Bethlehem, the stress of searching for somewhere to stay. And then shortly after the birth, the visits of shepherds, speaking of how angelic messengers had come to them. And even before, even in this early stage of the story, even before wise men turn up with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, even before the flight to Egypt, even before all this, there is still much to ponder upon. If this baby really is the revelation of God, God come to us, the Messiah, the Savior, then there's lots to think about. For centuries, the meaning of the Christmas story, the incarnation, God come in human form, dominated the conversation of early Christians, of theologians, of those thinking about God. The fact that God became a human being in the early church became a key thing, much more than the crucifixion was. It's only in the Middle Ages and later at the Reformation does the crucifixion become the key thing that we meditate on. For the early church, the idea, the concept that God would come in person as a human being just captivated them. And it leaves me wondering about how it captivates us. The fact that God would come as a human being, the fact that God would come in the person of Jesus, it asks the question, are we willing to ponder, to grapple with what that might mean? Because if God is truly God, then he's bigger and more complex than we can ever imagine. If God is truly God, then his power is unimaginable. And what does that mean for him to come vulnerable, placing himself in the hands of human beings? What does all this mean? What did it mean then to the Mary and Joseph and the first people who encountered him? What does it mean now, 2,000 years later, as we continue to tell this story and think about it? It certainly has plenty to ponder on. Now, the process of reflection is one that takes time, which is why we tell this story every year at about this time, which is why we tell it in different ways, which is why we read the well-known stories again and again and again, which is why we sing carols packed with the words of the story. It's why through drama we usually put on some form of nativity play to try and tell the story. and tell it in a different way. It helps us grapple with what this means. Pondering, theological reflection, thinking long and hard often has three stages. What does it say? What did it mean? What does it mean now? For Luke, the story is quite straightforward. Of all the commentators, of all the gospel writers, the commentators describe Luke's description as a clean narrative. It's a straightforward story. He doesn't embellish it with anything. He just says, you know, angels show up. Visit a shepherd. Shepherds leave. Go and speak. Go and meet. Go and find the baby. It's a pretty straightforward story. As for what it meant then, well, there's a number of things to ponder here. There's the fact that angelic messengers go first to the shepherds, the very people who ordinarily didn't have access to God. They might be on a hillside close to the big city where the temple was, but because of the smell that they pick up, because of the cuts and bruises they pick up, that comes inevitably with working with animals, they're not allowed to go to the regular place of worship. These aren't wealthy people. They have no status in society. And because their work keeps them on a hillside most of the time, they're not well connected. They don't know people. And yet it's to these folk who, despite fulfilling an important job, they provide the very sheep that are sacrificed as part of an act of worship. It is these folk who are isolated and shut out from access to God, is to these people that God first goes, announces that he has come to them. As for what that means today, well, things have been turned up and upside down in the last couple of years. Back in the early 2020, when everything but essentials was shut down, we began to realize who the real essential workers were in our society. Suddenly, the true significance of some folk came as a real surprise. Refuse collectors, delivery drivers, the people who fill supermarket shelves. That story continues going on as this year we've encountered a shortage of HDV drivers, of tanker drivers, and now train drivers. It leaves me a question. If God comes to the people on the very fringes of our society, what does it mean to us as a city center church? What does it mean to us that God comes to those on the fringe of society as we continue to grapple with what it means to live with the coronavirus? What does it mean as we regroup as a church, as we ponder the fact that God comes first to shepherds? How might that change our mission focus, the way we share the good news that indeed God has come and will come? But there's something else here as well. Because when I look back at this nativity story and ponder what it means, I see God coming to shepherds and I see shepherds responding. Luke records their conversation. Let's go to Bethlehem, see what this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, I have to say that when I initially read this, this verse always troubles me, because I'm always thinking, who's looking after the sheep? If the shepherds go, what about the sheep? But that aside, you have to commend them. God comes to them and they go, they respond, they accept the word of the messenger and they act upon it. That leaves me wondering if we can really get together, get grips with what this story means, that God would come to us in human form, if in our pondering we get a sense of the significance of that. How might that change us? What might make that cause us to respond? How would our response take shape? I'm not a fan of off-the-shelf evangelism programs. I'm not even a fan of evangelism training. And the reason is rooted in this story. It's rooted in the fact that having been accosted by angelic messengers and having responded to their call, these shepherds can't shut up about what they found. They have to tell someone. They're compelled to tell someone. Luke tells us the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen were just as they'd been told. And it causes me to ponder, if this story means something, what might it lead us to? If we ponder on this story and encounter God in it, how transformative might that be? If we were to ponder what it means for God to come to us as a human being, if we were to ponder what it meant to early shepherds to be woken in the night and to carry off to see a newborn baby, if we were really to get a grip of this, it might change us and change us forever. Because in pondering this story, we have to get to grips with the reality that Jesus comes to us. From this point forward, from the moment we light the last candle and announce that Jesus has come, life can never be the same again. He's no longer inhabits a place called heaven. He's no longer just some simply spiritual being. God has become real, tangible. Suddenly he has a body and a face. Suddenly he is the Word made flesh, human being, and that changes everything. So when we get to the end of Christmas Day, when the food is eaten and the gifts are unwrapped and we have a moment to stop and to ponder, I wonder if we'll take a moment to ponder the nativity story. To take a moment to ask this question, what does it mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for us as a church? And as we ponder, my hope is we might just encounter God. The God who comes to us as a human being. The God who comes to us in Jesus, the God who comes to us that means that life can never be the same again. Amen.